We offer Christ in offering the gospel. The surpassing theme of the Scripture, the surpassing theme of the New Testament in particular, is Jesus Christ. And in not having Christ, you have nothing, and in having Christ, you have everything.
Welcome to Grace to You with John MacArthur. I'm your host, Phil Johnson. It's Black Friday here in the United States. It's traditionally considered the busiest shopping day of the year. Thousands of people are standing in line, sometimes for hours, for that great deal or that new product, maybe something they hope will give them lasting satisfaction. But as John MacArthur will show you today on Grace to You, true, lasting happiness only comes through knowing Jesus Christ. Is that something you wholeheartedly affirm? Do you believe that Christ is all you need for happiness and contentment? If you're not sure, I urge you to stay here as John shows you why Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That's the title of today's message. If you have a Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 2, and here's John.
It seems to me that if I were not a Christian and if I were just out there living in the world, and some well-intentioned person approached me and asked if I would be interested in being a Christian, the first question that I would ask would be, what does Christianity provide for me? What does Christianity offer? And I'm afraid that I might get a whole lot of different answers. Seems to me that there is widespread confusion with regard to those who present themselves as the purveyors of Christianity and its benefits. Just exactly what do you think people assume Christianity offers? Health, wealth, success, peace of mind. That would be a fairly common presentation of Christianity. But I think the overall general sense of Christianity is that it offers you whatever you want. Whatever it is that makes you happy, whatever it is that satisfies you, whatever it is that fulfills your ambitions, your desires, and your dreams, that's what Christianity offers you. Christianity offers to make you everything you really want to be. That is a very confusing message and a very unbiblical one. It also lays out a complex answer to what should be a very simple answer. In a word, what Christianity offers you is Christ, Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity offers. That is a very simple, straightforward, one-word answer to what has become a very complicated issue. We offer Christ in offering the gospel. The surpassing theme of the Scripture, the surpassing theme of the New Testament in particular, is Jesus Christ. And in not having Christ, you have nothing, and in having Christ, you have everything. We have only one message, and that is Christ. We tell sinners they can have a relationship with Christ, and in that relationship with Him, they will receive everything they need, all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. And yet, in the name of Christianity, in the name of the gospel, in the name of the church, in the name of evangelism, people are told all kinds of things, promised all kinds of things, sold all kinds of things, and in the middle somewhere is, if recognizable, a significantly diminished Christ. Anything that diminishes Jesus Christ is a perverted presentation. It is another gospel, a false gospel. To understand the centrality of Christ, you could go just about anywhere in the New Testament epistles, but I want you to look with me at Paul's letter to the Colossians. Paul's letter to the Colossians. This entire letter, I think, assumes that the church at Colossae was being beleaguered by people who were trying to convince them that Christ was not enough, that Christ was not sufficient, that they needed more, because this entire letter pounds home the theme of Christ's complete sufficiency. There are people today who tell us that Christ is not enough. We need more than Christ, more than all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are found in Him. We need Christ plus philosophy, human wisdom. Let me take you to verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive, chapter 2. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy. This is human opinion, the mind of man. I'm pretty sure Colossae had its list of purveyors of human wisdom. And since the church at this time, I think, was only about 6 years old and sitting in a sea of corrupt human reasoning, it was easily engulfed like an island surrounded by a turbulent ocean. Could easily have been awash in the surging philosophies of the day. And so the Apostle Paul warns them that they must understand that all they need is found in Christ. It is a call to vigilance and a call to affirm the sufficiency of Christ. Verse 8 actually could be translated, be continually being aware. See to it could be spread out in that way because that's the Greek verb. Be continually being aware. The truth is never very far away from being attacked. And the attacks often come from human efforts to discredit or add to Scripture. You need to be sure of this so that no one takes you captive. Sulagagon. Sule, booty, ago, to carry off, so that nobody takes you captive. Good translation in the NAS. Nobody kidnaps you. It was actually referred to kidnappings in Greek usage, to plundering a house, seducing a maid, taking war captives. Paul uses it in Galatians 5:1. Being led into bondage by human reasoning when Christ is utterly sufficient. It is deceitful because it sounds good and because it is purveyed by articulate people, but it has no value. Further, it is according to the tradition of men. It is inadequate human thinking. Further, he says, it is according to the elementary principles of the world rather than according to Christ. And he goes back that all truth, the riches of knowledge and wisdom reside in Christ. All you need is in Christ. This does not advance you. This regresses you. This takes you back. It is rudimentary. What does that mean? It is according to the elementary principles of the world, the basic elements of learning. It is not advanced. It is backward. Rudimentary here simply means ABCs, baby talk, principles for children, not adequate for adults. It is an explanation of nothing. It is like when you're son comes to you, fathers, and says, Daddy, what makes the car go? And you say, the engine. That is a very simplistic answer. Or you say, gasoline. Or when your little one says, where do babies come from? mother, and you say, God sends them down? That is anything but a complete answer, and pretty soon they figure that out. Why would you go back to such rudimentary solutions when you have the most complex spiritual realities of the universe delineated clearly in Scripture and made clear to us in Christ? Rather than advancing human wisdom, philosophy regresses it away from mature truth to the infantile musings of children, poverty-stricken, puny minds offering their opinions. Philosophy adds absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It is a myth that somehow the simple gospel is not sufficient. He is all we need. Follow the text. Verse 9, all the fullness of deity dwells in Him in bodily form. In Him you have been made complete, full. He is the head over all rule and authority. There are no spirits above Him, no angels above Him. He is all we need. He has provided for us, let's look at verse 11, a complete salvation. You are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. That is a magnificent statement. We have literally died with Him to the old life. The removal of the body of flesh, been buried with Him in His death, raised with Him in His resurrection, all through faith, complete salvation, transformation from death into new life. In verses 13 and 14, not only a complete salvation, but a complete forgiveness. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, that's the record of all our sins, and which was, of course, hostile to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. In verse 15, on our behalf, He disarmed the rulers and authorities, the hosts of hell, the demons, Satan. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them. We are offering in the gospel true, total, complete triumph over Satan and demons. Philosophy can do nothing to embellish that. But another attack comes on the sufficiency of Christ. It comes not from philosophy or rationalism, but from legalism. Legalism. Verse 16, therefore let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. In the first point about rationalism or philosophy, we saw that we don't need philosophy or human wisdom. We have everything we need in Him. In Him, we have the fullness of deity. In Him, we have been made complete. In Him, we have been cleansed, saved, had the flesh, as it were, removed, died to the old and risen to the new. In Him, we have the total forgiveness of all our sins, and through Him, complete victory over Satan and all his hosts, all in Him. Here, in verses 16 and 17, the substance, again, at the end of verse 17, belongs to Christ. All external things are only a shadow of that substance. Now, what are we seeing here? Well, we're looking at something very familiar to the Apostle Paul because he was a legalist. He was a faithful Jew, loyal to the law, Pharisee, circumcised, zealous. He was a Pharisee in the extreme sense. Read Philippians 3, 4 through 6, where he describes the fastidious, extreme nature of his externalism. But his heart was wretched until he found in Christ a righteousness that was not his own, a righteousness of God given to him by faith in Christ. Prior to that, he was trying to achieve a righteousness on his own, which he could not do. And so Paul says in verses 16 and 17, don't let anybody act as your judge, render a spiritual verdict on your life by some external measure, such as food or drink or a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Don't let anybody judge you based on those kinds of things. Those were merely shadows, just shadows. The third possibility that had pressed itself against the Colossians was that Christ was not enough. There needed to be something more. Let's call this mysticism. Mysticism. I've had to deal with this through my life. I have preached on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, what the Bible teaches about spiritual life, what the Bible teaches about the dynamics of spiritual life. And I have been accused by many people of being void of the Holy Spirit because I've never spoken in tongues, of being void of the Holy Spirit because I do not recognize that some are saying the Holy Spirit is doing a miracle ministry in this age, and if I don't acknowledge that I am quenching the Spirit of God. I've had strange conversations with people who tell me that Jesus talks to them and they talk to Jesus and ask me if I've ever had those kinds of personal conversations, and when I'm asked if I've ever had any of those conversations, my answer is no, but God speaks to me constantly. God speaks to me every single day. In fact, He speaks to me every single time I open the Bible and read one word. And He speaks crystal clear, and I know exactly what He is saying. And He speaks to me every time I recite a verse in my mind or out loud. He speaks to me every time I think a biblical thought and a biblical truth. But somehow I'm being cheated and something profound is missing because I haven't had a mystical experience. Look at verses 18 and 19. This is where Paul deals with that. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. Now, that's the idea that reminds us again that this was an attack coming on these Colossians, that Christ was not enough, they needed philosophy. Christ was not enough, they needed legalism. Then the mystics show up. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. People telling you that somehow you're cheated, somehow you're forfeiting your reward, somehow you're missing the mark, you're falling short of all the spiritual events, realities that are available to you. By delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Wow, that's a pretty strong assessment. Don't let anyone deny you your prize by saying you really are unworthy of the best that God has to give. Someone who comes along apparently humble, delighting in self-abasement. Now, when you're happy about your humility, you haven't got it. When you're overjoyed to tell folks how humble you are, you just missed it. And they become puffed up in their fleshly mind. And they are the opposite of the self-abasing people they want you to think they are. Their problem? They do not, verse 19, hold fast to the head. Who's the head? Christ. I have Christ, I need nothing more. I'm not looking for conversations with angels. I'm not looking for voices from heaven. I only had one vision in my life and I married her. I have had no more. I want no more. I want no more. I seek no more. I have Christ. I need nothing more. If I need a vision of Christ, if I want to gaze into His glory and be transfixed, I open the pages of Scripture where His glory explodes on my mind. That's all I need. All we need is Christ, the Christ revealed in Scripture. And then there are those, fourthly, who come with the offering of asceticism. Asceticism. Rationalism, legalism, mysticism, and asceticism. What is asceticism? It's a word that means self-denial. In its extreme form, it is self-injury, inflicting wounds on yourself. Notice in verse 20, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, which would include all of these things that are supposedly additions to Christ. They are regressions, in fact. But if you have died with Christ, you now live with Christ. If you are dead to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch? This is useless, verse 22. All these things are destined to perish with the using. All of this stuff dies. It is just in accordance with the commandments and teaching of men. This, to be sure, has the appearance of some kind of spiritual transcendent wisdom, but it is self-made religion, self-abasement, and this severe treatment of the body that has, please notice, no value against fleshly indulgence. No, people will say, it's Jesus Christ plus human wisdom, it's Jesus Christ plus external rules, it's Jesus Christ plus visions and experiences, Jesus Christ plus self-denial, self-abasement, severe treatment of the body. And the Holy Spirit says, it's Jesus Christ plus nothing. So the next time somebody says to you, what does the gospel offer me? What does the Bible offer? You say this, Jesus Christ. That's the person that Christianity offers. And in Him, complete salvation. And in Him, complete forgiveness. And in Him, complete victory, and in Him, complete sufficiency. To have Him is to have everything. Not to have Him is to have nothing.
That's John MacArthur, the featured speaker here on Grace to You since 1969. He's also chancellor of the Masters University and Seminary. And today he showed you the incredible truth that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Well, John, this is the day after Thanksgiving, and retailers in our country refer to it as Black Friday. Our listeners may be getting around to some Christmas shopping, and with that said, I know there's a thought you want people to keep in mind as they look for special gifts for their families and friends.
Yeah, my thought would be don't go anywhere. Don't go to any store on Black Friday. That is the last place you would find me. I'm not a shopper to start with, but not that day at all. You can stay home and you can get the best gifts that you could ever give. And what we're talking about is the resources right here from Grace to You that are available to you today by a simple phone call or going to your computer and ordering online. I would just suggest that a great gift to start with is a copy of the MacArthur Study Bible. We have so many incredible editions of it now. It's in the New American Standard Translation, which is what I preach from. It's in the New King James. It's in the English Standard Versions. It's in 9 other languages that it's available, Portuguese and Spanish and French and Arabic and Russian and all of that. There are premium editions, a beautiful new soft calfskin edition. We even have a goatskin edition of the MacArthur Study Bible that's the most beautiful Bible I've ever seen. So the MacArthur Study Bible is the tool that is the foundational tool for a Christian. 25,000 footnotes explaining every passage in the Bible right on the page. That's a great gift. In addition to that, the MacArthur Daily Bible.
My favorite.
Yeah, this is a Bible that's designed so that you can read through the Bible in a year. For each day, there's an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, a section from Psalms, and a portion from Proverbs. Daily reading includes then the Old, the New, the Psalms, the Proverbs, and at the end of each of the readings, there is a very direct devotional that's designed to strengthen you through the year. Now, here's a free offer. With every study Bible or daily Bible that you purchase from us, we'll include a free copy of my book, Lord, Teach Me to Pray. That's a hardcover book, a great gift as well. And then finally, the MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series explains the entire New Testament, Matthew to Revelation, verse by verse, 34 volumes. This is an incredible Christmas gift for someone who really wants to dig into the Word of God or who teaches or preaches regularly. Keep in mind, the entire series is available for just a few more weeks at 25% off the regular price. Take advantage of the special offer while it's still available.
Right, and these resources will help you and those you love focus on Christ long past Christmas Day, and they will encourage your worship in the new year. To order the MacArthur Study Bible or the Daily Bible or a MacArthur New Testament commentary, contact us today. Our toll-free number is 800-55-GRACE and our online address, gty.org. If you're interested in the MacArthur Study Bible, it's reasonably priced in hardcover, leather, or softcover. And again, for every Study Bible or Daily Bible that you order, we will send you a free copy of Lord, Teach Me to Pray. And as John mentioned, right now you can get the MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series at 25% off the regular price. John spent years writing these commentaries. They're the product of 5 decades in ministry, and they will give you an in-depth explanation of every New Testament verse. To order one commentary or the whole set, call 800-55-GRACE or go to gty.org. Now for John MacArthur and the entire staff, I'm Phil Johnson, reminding you to watch Grace to You television on Sundays, DirecTV Channel 378, that's NRB TV, or check your local listing for station and times, and then be here Monday. John's going to show you why God's Word is all you need for life and godliness. He's starting a study titled The Sufficiency of Scripture. Join us as we continue celebrating 50 years of unleashing God's truth one verse at a time on Grace to You.